So, welcome everybody. My name is Sean Welker, and some of you may recognize my name, recognize my voice. Many years ago, back in 2018, 2019, I did work as a visual interpreter for Aira. When I left Aira, I was with another small startup company for about 6 months, and then the pandemic descended upon all of it. And unfortunately, that job dried up. It was very dependent on public interaction and involvement, so we just didn't have the ability to continue on throughout the pandemic. But fortunately, because of the relationships I had made while I was at Aira, I was able to start up with the Massachusetts Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired, which I know for a fact is looking through the list of folks who are attending here. Some of you actually used the service that we were coordinating while I was there. I spent about 4 years working with them. First year was dedicated to an apprenticeship program, learning about assistive technology, and also learning about web accessibility and digital accessibility. During that time, though, my boss, Sassy Outwater Wright, she approached me and said, "Hey, look, you know, be my eyes. I don't know how familiar you are with them, but they would like us to join their growing list of blindness nonprofits that they are putting access to in the Be My Eyes app under what they're calling specialized help." I said, "Well, yeah, that sounds great, but what exactly does that mean?" So she said, "Hey, look, we as a nonprofit are going to have the ability to kind of craft this however we feel fit. Is that something you're up to?" So I spent about 3.5 years there coordinating a team of volunteers, and we clearly wanted to kind of raise the bar for a long time now, probably going on 11 years. There's really been two mainstream options when it comes to visual interpreting. You've got your paid service with Aira, which throughout the years, people have kind of noted the reliability, the level of service that they're provided, some of the limitations, you know, they kind of ebb and flow. And then also you've got your Be My Eyes volunteers, where 8 million volunteers worldwide, but with varying levels of success there. You know, you got folks who don't know how to work with blind folks, but then you also have some folks who are really good. So we said, "Hey, look, let's do something that's somewhere in the middle. Let's make sure that we're keeping this free. That is the whole spirit of things with Be My Eyes, crowdsourcing, but let's just do a little bit better job. Let's make sure that we're background checking people, making sure that we're putting trustworthy folks on these calls. Let's make sure that we give them some of that basic training on how to work with folks who are blind. You can't have folks who are providing assistance to a blind person saying, 'Oh yeah, I see what you're looking for. It's over there.' What the heck does over there mean? We need to understand the language that we're supposed to be speaking. It's not just about absorbing information and sharing it, but sharing it in a way that's meaningful and significant to the person we're sharing it with." And this is something that I ended up taking with me as far as the whole mindset, learning about accessibility, applying it to visual interpreting. And when my organization indicated early last year, late in the winter, early in the spring, that they had lost funding for my position and for my program, I said, "Well, I appreciate the offer to move me into fund development, but that's not the thing that brings me joy. That's not the thing that I signed up for. I'm a visual interpreter. I'm an accessibility person. And, you know, if that's not something that is valued by this organization, I think it's time for me to strike out and go out on my own." So last summer, I paid my own way to attend both of the national conventions down in Florida. I actually volunteered for 9 hours at the Jacksonville International Airport, walking 9 different groups from the gates down to baggage claim and out to rideshare. And, you know, I spoke with folks. I met a lot of folks. Mika was one of them, and just said, "Hey, look, you know what we've been doing here for the past 3.5 years? We've gotten ourselves to a point where we've got 50 volunteers that have all handled at least one shift in the past 4 weeks, in the last 30 days. We've got everyone getting background checked. We've got everyone being trained by myself, an experienced visual interpreter. We're, you know, providing almost 80 hours a week of on-demand service for folks. What are you going to do if that disappears? If I take this somewhere else, if I take this to the for-profit and start my own small business, is that something that you could support?" And overwhelmingly, people said it's not about the fact that this organization hosts this program. We love the fact of what you've done while you've been there. But if you take this somewhere else, you're the one that is driving this, and we're going to follow you. And that was a year ago. This past year, I went and attended the national conventions as an exhibitor for my small business, Visual Eyes Access. And it's been a wild ride for the past year. You know, for those first probably 8 or 9 months, it was literally just me reaching out to folks who I had had previous relationship with, letting them know that, hey, I've started my own small business, getting my website up, learning the ins and outs of all of those little, forms that you have to fill out and the insurance that you have to make sure that you're doing everything correctly. And we're now a year in, and we've gotten ourselves to the point where we now have a small dedicated team. I now have 6 other visual interpreters that are working alongside me. This frees me up to do some more of that administrative stuff, and it allows some folks to get some more experience and work with folks. 3 of the 6, so half of my team, are actually also former IRA agents. Some names you may be familiar with from back in my day, 2018 and 2019. I've got Ashley Morgan and Tabitha Finnegan. And then recently, we added Gabby, who was a newer agent, one that was just left IRA a year or two ago. So we've been doing some really cool stuff with folks. Everything that you can think of that IRA or Be My Eyes can handle, we're handling. The mundane, the simple, the read this recipe card, help me figure out if these socks match. Did I spill on my shirt while I was at lunch? All the way up to I'm at LAX and I have to, you know, get over to this next gate, a terminal over in 20 minutes because my flight leaves. Yeah, let's go. So everything that folks have been able to do with IRA, we've been able to do. But here's the thing. In some ways, we're actually providing more services. One of the things that we also do that a lot of folks are very excited about, there's 2 things in particular that I wanted to share that are just slightly different. We're doing accessible PDF summaries. Now, because of the experience I had working in accessibility, working in digital accessibility with PDFs, I understand that there's content, there's information, there's things that are there that oftentimes are not generated or created or saved in a way that's accessible to folks, right? You know, how many times do you get a PDF that says that it's stored as an image file and it doesn't even have a relevant, meaningful file name? It literally says it's file 18JQ. You know, PDF. You're like, I have no idea what any of this is. And that's ridiculous. Like, we can leverage, and we're actually using AI for most of this. We run most of it through an AI prompt, but then we also have one of our agents go through and manually check, make sure that there's heading structure, make sure it's navigable by a screen reader. And we can typically do all of that on a single one-page flyer. It usually takes us about 15, 20 minutes. It's not going to be like, you know, instant, but it is something that doesn't really take a whole lot of time. And we've got one particular person who uses us on a very regular basis who works for a large city, Parks and Rec Department. And I remember him talking to me about this. He says, you know, I actually am part of the team that provides the content for these PDFs. And yet at the same time, when they're completed and finished, they're not accessible to me. And so I put in the request, I go through the chain of command, I ask for the accommodation, and I'll get those flyers back, accessible format, but it takes them 3 to 4 months. And he's like, I can't do that. And so we're actually not just working with him to provide him access to those documents in a much more timely manner. We're also working with that department, and we're trying to see if we can't request that his department, if they're unable to meet that accessibility request, that they're at least paying for the work that we're doing for that. It should not be on this person's dime. One of the things that we hold very, very strongly at Visualize Access, myself and the folks who work with me, is that accessibility needs to be accessible. And that also includes from a financial standpoint. And we definitely know that there's folks out there that can afford it and they're paying for it. They understand that it's a service that it shouldn't just be left up to volunteers who, oh, I've got a working set of eyeballs. I can be a visual interpreter. Yeah, maybe you can, but there's a lot more that goes into it than that. And we can't have this mindset of the bare minimum is good enough. You know, there's long been this notion of, hey, as long as, you know, folks who are disabled get some attention, that's going to be just fine. That's more than enough. We don't need to do more than that. We say absolute baloney to that. It is not acceptable and is in no way, shape, or form how we conduct our business at Visual Eyes Access. One of the other things that I wanted to share that we do that slightly differently is the fact that we can do asynchronous tasks without folks needing to be on that phone call. You've got better things to do. You got work to do. You want to spend time with your families. Maybe you just want to take a nap. I don't care what you want to do. It's your time. You shouldn't have to stay on the line because I've got somebody working on your task. And one of the things that we do very specifically is we've got a lot of folks out there that are working for Selvus, working for some of the other AT technology, doing demos at trade shows or attending conventions, some of the AT trainers, and they're independent contractors and they have to submit those timesheets on a very regular basis. And in order to do that, they typically have to scan those receipts, which then are image files. What folks have been doing to use our service and to use it effectively and efficiently is to just create a Dropbox where they give us access. We then make sure that on our time, we go in, we take all that information that needs to be compiled and transcribed into the template that they provide us, let them know how long it took, and then away we go. Hey, it took us 20 minutes today to get that expense report filled out for you. We've deducted your account, your remaining balances, blah, blah, blah. Thanks so much for using our service. We'll see you next month. And I tell you what, some of these guys just were absolutely floored when we offered this as a service. They couldn't believe it. And number one, they're like, what do you mean I don't have to be on the call? Don't you have to track your time? We track our time by setting a timer. It's not that difficult. Why make things more complex than what they need to be? Keep it simple, stupid. The other thing is they said, I can't believe this because I've used other services. It does not get done that quickly. Or I've tried to do it myself and it takes me half a day. We're giving back something that is a service that is actually just adding value to this person by just even simply freeing up that time. So these are some pretty cool stories about how people are using our services. Recently, I had somebody, a younger person who likes to go to the movies by themselves. And so they're like, wait, can you actually do that? Like, isn't it kind of tough to see indoors? I said, no, not at all. Let's go. I don't know why someone would have problems with it. Yeah, it gets dark in the movie theater. But guess what? I can tell where the screen is. I can tell which direction the seats are facing. I can tell where they're supposed to be aisles. Let's go. And so now we've gone in and out of a couple movie theaters and allowed this person to be able to independently go and have that day out where they get a chance to go and see it, catch a movie. It's about providing the ability to have autonomy and to be able to do things that you want to do kind of on your own terms. And one of the very specific examples that, was why I was asked to even come here today and speak is the fact that, Mika had called a while back in May, and he said, hey, I know you're running your own business now, and I don't know if this is even something that's, you could do, but could you kind of check and see if there's something going on with Google Mail or with Gmail? There's something weird with my Gmail. When I'm in Gmail, it won't show me the search field. Like, it's completely disappeared. Like, I can't access it. It doesn't even indicate that it's there on the screen. It's like it's completely gone. It's vanished. And I've spent, a few hours already talking to Google accessibility support. They can't figure it out. They've kind of sent me this list of things that I can do to troubleshoot. I got on with Freedom Scientific. Is it a JAWS thing? They can't figure it out. They sent me a list of things to try to troubleshoot. Well, I figured I'd give you a call. Yeah, Mika, let's go ahead. Let's go take a look. I'm going to remote into your computer. Here's the code. Let's go. Well, quite literally, from what he had shared with me and my understanding of both accessibility, my experience as a visual interpreter and working with folks who are blind for now 6+ years, and then also just having a tech troubleshooting background. I come from a tech environment, a customer support triaging, and it didn't take me very long to confirm, yeah, you're right. I don't see the search field. I visibly can't see the search field. I wonder if that means also the screen reader is not able to access it. Now, I did actually have a little bit of a flaw in my thinking because I had thought screen reader is supposed to crawl through that HTML code. That HTML code should not be changing simply for the fact that it's not visible on the screen. However, once we dug in a little bit more, we realized that that is exactly what was happening. And what I realized pretty quickly, comparing his Gmail to my Gmail side by side on my two monitors, I realized, you know what? Yours looks bigger. It looks enlarged. It's got to be something with your browser Zoom settings. Sure enough, look at that. He's got it set at 120%, mine set at 100. We just had him control minus to bring it back down to 100%. And sure enough, down comes that search field. It was digitally hiding behind the frame of the browser, which I didn't even know was a thing that you could do. And, you know, I asked him, I said, hey, go ahead and fire your JAWS back up and go ahead and give it a try, see if you can find it. It took us all of maybe 90 seconds to figure out something that, you know, Google accessibility, JAWS accessibility support weren't able to even touch. Like, they just didn't even want to make the attempt. I think it was money well spent. I think Mika is still actually on a trial period that we usually do a 30-minute trial for $20. Because I'm coming and speaking to all of you, all you have to do is, if you're interested, just mention, hey, I heard you on the ViBug presentation. That includes all the folks who are hearing this, you know, through the recording. Just mention that you heard us on the ViBug presentation. We'll give you 50% off. We'll give you $30. And those minutes are yours to use as you choose. You know, Mika's he's had probably 6 months where it's been sitting on his account, but I'm sure he's gonna throw something at me at some point. The other thing that we do too is we do things a little bit differently when it comes to billing. The reason why is, for years I've heard folks who use other services say very clearly and adamantly, the one thing that just is a thorn in my side is that if I pay for a certain amount of minutes and I don't use them in the set period of time, I lose them and it just doesn't make sense to me. I should be able to keep those minutes. And, you know, we're small enough and agile enough that we're going to honor that. We have two ways that folks can go about paying for our service. You can either pay kind of as you go, and that just means you reach out to us, let us know what you need done. We get that task completed with you, and we'll just send you an invoice for however many minutes it took, and just $1 per minute. Hey, it was 20 minutes today. Here's your invoice coming to your inbox for $20. Please get that paid in a timely manner, and then we'll see you next time. Just let us know what you need next. And if you got enough, you know, time that you think you're going to use, it might not be a bad idea to get on a subscription plan. And we can either do an annual payment where you just pay one fee up front, you've got a whole 12 months worth of minutes, or you could pay on a quarterly basis or a monthly basis. Now, those folks that are doing those quarterly and monthly plans, on the quarterly, there might be times throughout the year where you've got a, you know, something happen, you're just kind of tight with the finances, or maybe you've got so many minutes. I haven't had a chance to use my minutes. I really don't want to add another 3 months of minutes. We'll give you one chance each year to make sure that you can go ahead and skip that payment. We're not going to add any more minutes. We're also not going to auto debit you, and we'll see you again in 3 months. Okay, perfect. For our folks that are on that monthly subscription, we'll do that up to twice a year for folks. It just gives you a little bit more flexibility, gives you a little bit more freedom to make sure that the plans are kind of working for you. I don't ever want anybody to start grumbling about, oh, Visualize Access, you know, they're so stodgy with their payment system and they don't really work with you and they're stubborn about their, you know, no. If anything, I want people to say the exact opposite. And so far, we've been hearing some really good feedback from the community where folks are saying, hey, look, I love the fact that you guys do this, and I'm going to keep using you guys as long as I can. You're checking all the boxes right now. Not only are you giving us access to folks, but you're giving us folks that have experience. They know what they're doing. I've gotten some folks recently who tried us for the first time using airport navigation, and they couldn't believe it. They said, I could not tell that I was using somebody that, you know, I'd never used before. It was almost like they already knew how to work. That's very intentional. We make sure that we're training folks and putting them through the paces because we don't want to have those poor experiences out there. If it's a poor experience for the end user, it's a poor experience for us as a whole. And we just don't want to see that happen. The other thing that we have, and this goes kind of back to the whole concept of, you know, what are some ways that we can make it more financially feasible for folks? Because if you got to figure out if you're going to put food on your table, pay your electric bill, or get visual interpreter minutes, I'm pretty sure all of you know which one falls to the bottom of that list. So very early on, we realized we had a lot of guide dog users. And so we reached out to maybe half a dozen and said, hey, look, do you have anyone in particular, anywhere that you go for your dog supplies? I got a dog too. And I know that on a very regular basis, we got to restock those treats and supplies and toys, chew toys. Oh my goodness. To a T, everybody said, yeah, not really. Whoever has the best sales. I said, well, what about this? What if we created a store tied to our website? We're actually going to call it the Provisions Shop. We've got toys, treats, and supplies in there. And we say for guide dogs and good dogs of all kinds, if you got a bad dog, you got to go shop somewhere else. But What if we provide supplies for your dogs? And then if you make those purchases and you're getting those things that your dog needs, we'll give you 10% back from that purchase in visual interpreter minutes. And so if you go and you buy, $50 worth of supplies for the month, you got your stuff for your dog, we're gonna get put 5 minutes on your account. And that in and of itself is not a ton. It's just kind of like this small token to say, hey, thank you for supporting us. We're going to give you some visual interpreter minutes to use. But what if you got some friends and family members? What if you got some coworkers and colleagues and they start buying their dog supplies from us and they say, oh, I don't even know what visual interpreting is. I don't have any need for this. Yeah, let's go ahead and donate these to Mika. Let's go and donate these to Frank. Whoa, now all of a sudden you have this small little team of folks that are helping to fund your visual interpreter service. And you could theoretically get to a point where you almost don't even need to pay for it on your own anymore. And that, I think, is a cool option, a cool opportunity. We recently started adding some more kind of more diverse items into our web store. We did recently sign a contract with Fieldum. I don't know if anyone's familiar with them, but it is a company that is making accessible bags, backpacks. And in this case, very specifically, they worked with Mike May, who I'm sure most of you are familiar with. He's long been an evangelist for blind travel, previously working. I think he actually still does work with Good Maps and then also now with the Blind Travel Foundation, which used to be Flight for Sight. He approached them and said, we love what you're doing with your accessible bags. But here's the thing, we've got folks out there who are blind and they use phone bags as a way to receive assistance with navigation. And he gave them kind of all the things that would be wonderful to see and have. And Fieldum said, yeah, let's make these. Let's make them out of ballistic nylon so they're super durable. Let's make sure that we have two different types. We've got the Navi Pal, which is about the same size as the phone, just slightly bigger. So it's got a nice streamlined design. Or you know what? We got folks that are attending events. They're attending conferences and conventions. Let's make one that's 40% wider and it has a clear window on the front bottom. That allows you to put your name badge in there or something else. Maybe you want to put a little printed sign in there that says, independent blind traveler, leave me alone. Right? How many of you have had somebody come up and grab you and say, hey, you need to know where you're going. Let me take you there. And you're like, leave me alone. Don't touch me. So we're really excited about this. We've actually already had a couple sales. And so if you go into our shop and you place a purchase there, it is the same price. I believe Fieldum has said we want to keep it kind of a level playing field. Anyone that's selling our products are asked to sell them at the same price. And so what it does do, though, is that it supports our business. It allows us to get a certain percentage back. The other thing that we started stocking in there, and again, this all goes back to feedback that I've heard from the community, from having lived here for quite some time. Spent
Yes.
significant time with the blindness community. And that is folks said, hey, look, what could you do for like a high visibility jacket? I'm like, I don't know, let's go check. Well, we found a site that sells what I like to call, and the color they say is called safety green. We say, it is obnoxiously fluorescent yellow. It is literally something where you walk into a space and everyone's going to see you. But it's also stylish. It's Columbia. It is a nice windbreaker. It's light enough that you can still wear it if it's a little warm out, but it's also heavy enough and got that water resistance so that if you wear it when it's windy or a little bit cooler, it's going to keep you dry and warm. And it's going to keep you also offer that on our in our ProVision shop. And again, all of those things qualify to receive 10% back in form of those visual interpreter minutes. So we're trying to be real intentional about bringing accessibility and making it more accessible. I'm not going to necessarily say building a better visual interpreter service. I think that that would be really, a bit obnoxious to say. We're not thinking in those terms. There's just enough space here in this environment, we think, that folks should be able to have another option. And so we're here. We've been here for about a year now. We're looking forward to many more years ahead of us. And I certainly look forward to seeing some of you, at those upcoming national conventions, state conventions. Look for us. Come say hello. We love talking with folks out there in the field. I'm actually going to be heading to Syracuse next week for the Living with Vision Loss conference.
One of my pet peeves in life is I often receive print music files that I
Oof.
need to access. Now, I understand that they cannot be created into easily PDF readable files. I would be curious along the way if you were sent something, if there would be any way that you could pull out the words, even if you can't pull out the notes. For example, the way they have the words, you know, you have to figure out, is the word allowed, is it A, L, and then two notes on the O, O. So even if the words were written somehow so that you could see where the syllables broke.
I love it because it is definitely a niche that we see within the blindness community. And it's one of those things where it's like, it's so unique of a request. There just hasn't been much of a mainstream response, right?
This may not be doable, but so I'd be happy to send you something just to play with it. And I'd be willing to pay for whatever time you spend on it.
Well, I mean, that's why the 30-minute trial exists, right? Like, check it out and kick the tires and see if it's something that's going to meet your needs. I tell people this all the time. I say, hey, look, if you send me something and we don't meet your needs, please don't use my service. We're clearly not, you know, what you're looking for. But if we do and you like what you're getting from us, it's a good quality experience, and yeah, let's keep talking. So here's the thing. I would absolutely want to sit down and kind of take a look at what exists, where they're deficient. And then again, it's about having the background in, not just in visual interpreting, but also with accessibility, having spent 4 years at MABV, and then also kind of just this whole tech troubleshooting support mindset. We can do it. I know we can do it. I just don't know what it's going to look like to get from here to there. But that's why you involve people who are there in the trenches, who are experienced.
One of my biggest frustrations when I look at bags or products is great to have a bag for the iPhone, but what if you want to carry an iPhone and an e-reader? Or an iPhone and a laptop? There doesn't seem to be a good product that would be small enough and practical enough without having to get something that's huge.
What I would say, Jeanette, is I would absolutely put you in contact with my contact through Fieldum. I actually have some accessibility requests. Based off my own experience of using the Navi badge, I was fortunate enough that at one of the conventions, I had approached them and kind of explained who I was, what we did, and they just willingly, gladly just handed us one and said, here, why don't you go ahead and take this and use it. Let us know what you think. So just like how Mike May approached them and said, hey, we would like to take what you're already doing with these accessible bags that you're providing kind of mostly for wheelchair users and folks with dexterity issues. Let's look at something very specific for the blind community. I don't think that they would be opposed. I just think that they've never been approached. And if you would like to do that, let me know. I am all about making those connections and helping to kind of be the conduit to kind of think outside that box and bring good accessibility to areas that haven't necessarily been looked at before. The other thing that I'm going to mention to you, going back to the whole music transcription, and I know what you were talking about as far as like the whole syllables and how it matches with the actual time of the music. We also have Get Braille, and Get Braille, and you may already be familiar with Mark Cadigan and Tanya Milosevic out there in Massachusetts, but you might want to reach out to them, getbraille.com. They do indicate on their website that that's a service that they provide. Tanya, actually, if any of you go to the visualeyesaccess.com website on the news tab, the very top article there is an audio described dance. My daughter was a senior this past year, almost a full year ago now. And there was a dance with dads, and it had this wonderful videography, very nice professional video. But because I had so many folks who I would be sharing it with that were blind or low vision, I said, I have to make sure that it's accessible. We have to have an inclusive experience. So we worked with the director, or the business owner of the dance studio, who also happened to be the choreographer for that piece. We got the moves described, not just named and listed, but actually described. What does this move look like? We passed it along to somebody who has gone through the Joel Snyder training courses and is certified as a script writer. So they made sure they cleaned it up, that it had good flow to it. It was matching what was appearing visually and adding in those timestamps so that our blind voiceover actress was able to then take that script and be able to provide the voiceover work. If you get a chance, go check it out. It's something that we're incredibly proud of. It's something that we display at the different events that we go to. You get a lot of folks who are just absolutely floored that this is something that we can put into their hands, because how many home videos do you have? Or, you know, maybe you've got, you know, somebody sent you a video and you can hear stuff, but you're just not sure what's going on and you would like to have it, you know, audio described, or maybe you want it done professionally. So you have something. You know, somebody asked me, they're like, what about my wedding videos? Depends on how long they are. But yeah, we could probably do that. That's not a problem. Bringing accessibility in ways that haven't necessarily been talked about before in the world of visual interpreting is just something that I'm really excited about. And, you know, if you have ideas like Jeanette just had, throw them at us. You know, we might not be able to figure it out right off the top of our heads, but it doesn't mean that we're not going to sit down together as a team and say, hey, if this is a request, let's take the resources that we have available to us and let's make it happen. So my email address to get directly a hold of me is Sean, S-H-A-W-N, at visual, V-I-S-U-A-L, eyes, E-Y-E-S, access, A-C-C-E-S-S.com. I'm going to put my phone number in here as well. It's okay to text. It's okay to reach out through WhatsApp, 517-630-1420. And then, of course, our website is visualeyesaccess.com. We do have a newsletter that goes out once a month. Lots of cool information. Every now and then, I like to go through the, you know, when we started the newsletter and kind of read them in order to see the progress we've made in the last, you know, six, eight months. It's kind of mind-boggling. I always have to remind myself, like, it's only been a year and we've done some good work. So looking forward to meeting new folks and, you know, hopefully giving folks a chance to give our service a try and see what you think.
Can you give folks an idea of kind of how they typically book an appointment? Like, I know you have the Calendly and maybe you do it some other ways, but that might be interesting for people to know.
So if you want to make a request, I would say the first thing you're going to want to do is first just reach out to me to have a phone conversation. I want to make sure that we kind of give you an onboarding process so you understand how the service works, answer any questions that you might have. But you may want to bookmark this. It's calendly.com/requests/visual-eyes-access. And then if you want to do a phone call to me, it's the same, except instead of requests, it would be Sean. We also have the contact form on the website. There's lots of different ways that you can get through to us. But yeah, usually it just takes about 30 minutes to answer any questions, see you know, what it is that you would primarily use our service for. And then calls are handled through WhatsApp. We don't have our own app yet. We are actually building two versions. One is being built on a currently existing platform. We're trying to see if we can already take what's already there, that skeleton, that framework, and add in some bells and whistles that we particularly find useful as visual interpreters. But we're also working on creating our own app from scratch. It's just, that's going to be a lot longer of a process. An expensive endeavor. WhatsApp is nice because it is end-to-end encrypted. Most blind people that I know have used WhatsApp before. And if not, it doesn't take a whole lot for me to give them a, you know, 5-minute crash course on how to use WhatsApp using either, you know, voiceover or talkback. And then the other thing that's like just kind of ended up being an unintended consequence here of us using WhatsApp is that anybody on the Ray-Bans, they're able to connect to us just through WhatsApp, right? So they can be hands-free. Most of my folks that are doing airport navigations with us on a regular basis are using them. It's real nice. I will say this, one of the things that I do miss from back in the day is that fisheye lens on those Horizon glasses. Unfortunately, a lot of the other things associated with those Horizon glasses, people just did not like, or it didn't work properly. But man, I miss that fisheye lens where it gives you like double the field of vision. But the fact that you've got a wearable and you can very easily now turn your head left or right, you don't have to worry about the angle that you're holding your camera. You don't have to have your forearm fall asleep on you because you were, you know, we're walking for 45 minutes through LAX because you're flying out of the international terminal and it's way far away. So Yeah, using those Meta glasses and also using WhatsApp have been absolutely brilliant for us. We do have a few folks who will request, and we'll, you know, honor these as much as we possibly can. It's not accessible if we don't make it accessible in the way people want to use it, right? And so I do have a couple of folks who still request, hey, I got these Envision glasses. I still use them. Can I connect that way? I don't have the Metas. Yeah, absolutely. We will let you know how to connect to the person that's going to handle your request and walk through all that process ahead of time. We're not going to charge for that time. It's all set up. And then we'll make sure that, you know, those folks are able to get connected and handle that request.
Say I was going to, and I'll just use an example, say Disney World. Would I call ahead of time and talk to you to see if we have some person that is sort of specialized in Disneyland properties so that when I went there, you know, that person would be a little more familiar? Because that's one of the problems I find with Ira is often, unless they can find it, they don't, you know, or it takes time for them to kind of come up to speed as to where we are and what to do. I was just wondering does your service sort of allow a specialized situation where your interpreter is already up to speed so we don't have to start from scratch?
Yeah, 100%, because this is one of the things that, again, came from the community as a visual interpreter, as somebody who was on the other end of those calls. There is a significant difference if somebody is like, hey, how long am I supposed to heat this meatloaf dinner for versus, hey, I'm in the middle of LaGuardia and I need to find where the rideshare area is. It never made sense to me that people couldn't inform us ahead of time, especially with travel. You have your itinerary ahead of time. And so literally we ask people if they're flying, hey, can you forward us your itinerary? You know, send it to us a week or two ahead of time. If you know you're going to use our service and you've got your flight scheduled 3 months out, yeah, send it to us. Because what that's going to do is it's going to allow to figure out, okay, who's even going to be available on those days? Who has the experience? And if they don't have the experience, how do we get them up to speed? Whenever I have somebody who's still kind of new and doesn't quite understand what all we can do to prepare ourselves, I will sit down with them and I'll look at Google Maps. I'll look at that street view. We'll talk about just recently, we realized that there are now a number of airports where you can get that street view where it just kind of feels like it's dropping you right inside the building. Like, I know that we took somebody through Denver recently and, you know, it was brilliant. I was able to take someone who was still fairly new. They were good at navigating, but they hadn't gone through an airport and I walked through it with them and I even showed them areas that, like, these are not areas that we're going to hopefully go into, but I need you to know what they look like in case you accidentally get turned around. It is so hard to do all of that information on the fly. Because again, what do? We provide access to information about that person's environment in a way that's meaningful and significant to them so that they can make good decisions. It's hard enough to do that when you already know the environment, let alone when you've never seen that environment and all of a sudden you got 2 seconds to process all of that, convert it in your mind, spit it all back out. And then the person you're working with who's there in person has to say, oh, is what they're telling me make sense? Okay, so myself and one other person on my team, I know for a fact, have navigated folks through Disney. I actually had the one person say, my aunt is a huge Disney fan and is blind, and I have been navigating her around the Disney properties for years, like since she was 4 years old. So yeah, we can do that. We've done cruise ships. Given out not live, but we've done it where the person says, hey, I'm taking a cruise on such and such cruise line. The boat they said I'm going to be on is this. Can you give me any information about it? Yeah, we sure can. I literally took all the information about the different decks, where the different social areas might be, where the landmarks might be, as far as like elevators, as far as restrooms, as far as restaurants, and making sure that they were provided in a way that made sense. The flow made sense. As you pass on the left will be this, on the right will be this. Oh, I noticed that there's a texture change in that surface that you're going to be going across. Oh, by the way, you're going to be crossing, there'll be a piano bar off to your right. So if you hear those going on, it probably means you're going to have, you know, X amount of feet until you get to the next thing, which is the steakhouse. And the Wi-Fi is horrible. So we do this in a way so that you can learn your environment before you even go there. Like, you shouldn't have to go there, you know, pardon the phrase, but completely blind, right? let's give you information about that environment so that you can make good decisions for yourselves. I am not here to tell you to go right, to go left, to stop, to turn. I am here to give you access to information about your environment so that you understand it and can make good decisions for yourself. And that is how every single one of the folks that works with me as a visual interpreter, every single one of them goes through that whole mantra every single day. We talk about it on a very, very regular basis. I said, for those of you who may have worked elsewhere and possibly developed your own particular, this is what we do as visual interpreters. I'm like, yeah, I want you to keep some of that, but I also want you to add on top of it. This is the root of what we're doing. It's about accessibility. It's about providing access to information because that person needs to understand their environment to make good decisions for themselves. Now, are we going to do left, right, stop, turn every now and then? We are. It's just part of the process of working with somebody in that real quick, fast environment. You take three steps and all of a sudden your environment has completely changed. And I see this happen with all of the new people I train. They're doing such a great job at describing things. And then all of a sudden I start moving and they can't keep up. And I said, okay, you need to stop with all of the things that you're trying to spit out and literally just think about the bare basics. If there's something that they're going to run into, guess what? That takes priority. You don't need to describe the artwork that's on the wall that they're passing. Maybe it's a quiet stretch. And now all of a sudden you can talk about those sort of things. But, you know, it's about safety. It's about providing an accurate information about the environment so that you can make the decisions yourself.
If you did say a description of a ship, I'm assuming we would be allowed to record that so that we could play it back later at another time.
Yeah. And that actually for something like that, usually what I will do is I will send it as a voice recording simply because the cruise lines themselves will have the diagrams of the ships available. So we can use that. But then we're also looking for walkthrough videos that have been provided. Now, here's the thing. Walkthrough videos are great for people who can see them. They're not so great when they don't audio describe them or give descriptive narration. Literally, all I'm doing is I'm taking all of these different resources, learning about the environment that you're going to be going into, and then processing it and then giving it back to you in an accessible format. Is it different than what's currently exists? Yeah, but the gist of it is the same. I've had enough people who have said, hey, I don't know what about your service I like so much. I like it. It just feels like it's more personalized. It feels like it's a better experience for us and you're charging less. And I just don't, it's perfect. I love what you're doing here. I'm like, great. Go tell your friends and neighbors because we would love to find more of you to come and put us through the ringer.
And so that if we knew, what ship we're going to be on and say what deck and room we would be on, you could 100%. sort of personalize it from that position, basically.
Yeah. And we're going to look at all sorts of different ways to communicate information. So we're going to tell you how many doors that is going to be down. Yeah. We're going to tell you if there's, carpet versus tile. We're going to tell you in the hallways. Yeah. You can also then, we can send you the transcript as well. So if you don't have access to that, you've got access to the accessible document. We can add heading structure to make sure, hey, I'm not interested in the restaurants. I'm only interested in where the restrooms are. Okay, we'll skip to the restrooms and you'll be able to, hear the directions for where those are. And if anyone does have questions and they just haven't, a little shy today, that's perfectly fine. I am happy to have conversations offline. So shoot me a message through the contact form, email, phone call, WhatsApp, you name it. I'm happy to answer any of those questions that y'all might have. Happy to introduce you to that 30-minute trial for $10. And hopefully we're going to be here for a while. So if today's not the day, just, come find us when you're ready.
Like Dean and I go to a resort where there are some maps online. I mean, what would you rather see as far as like to create that, describe? Would it be a pen and pencil type of map, or would you see the actual photographs? What kind of detail would you actually need? Yeah. No, I'm thinking like a resort, like a small, we're talking like a really small resort, maybe like, three buildings and then like, maybe two restaurants, that type of thing. Yeah.
It's a boutique all-inclusive resort. So it's a small resort with like 80 rooms.
So the thing about these sort of requests is that they are unique and kind of an individual experience. And so we're going to take that same approach, right? we don't know about the environment that you've been in. If you've been there, you know about it. So we're going to ask you about the things that are landmarks that you're going to be aware of, right? I'm not going to point out things that aren't going to be relevant to you. Because again, this is one of the big parts of what it is that we do. We provide information that is relevant and significant to you. If you're concerned about the outbuildings, if you're not concerned about all of the where the gardens are, we're not going to share that information. If you're concerned more about, hey, what's on the different levels of the main building, yeah, as long as we have access to that sort of information, we can either find it, if it's online, if it's visual, if there's walkthrough videos, there's all sorts of different ways that we can obtain this information. The other thing that we do too, and I just did this for a gentleman who uses us very often, was up in Minnesota for a convention, and he was going to a hotel that he was not familiar with. So we were able to actually reach out to that property and kind of share what it is that we were doing. Can you please send us the floor plan of the convention area so that we're able to describe it to this person, let them know ahead of time the environment that they're going to be navigating so that they can do so independently. In this case, oddly enough, they weren't willing to do it, but we were able to find walkthrough videos that some family who had stayed there had shared. And so we took that information, kind of processed it and said, okay, how do we share this out so that it's going to be relevant to this person so that they can understand that environment and navigate around successfully? So we'll do that. We'll reach out to properties and we'll talk to them about the concept of accessibility and the fact that you're going to have some guests that are attending here and staying at your, and they want to have an equivalent experience. Let's do that by giving them the ability to have things be accessible to them. And it's not just about Braille on the placards for the rooms. It's not just about having doors that you can have the push button to open and ramps and things like that. It's about seeing things in a more inclusive manner. And sometimes all it takes is for these businesses and these properties and whatnot to just even be informed, right? They don't think about things from the perspective of somebody who's blind. I've been in this space long enough that, people have told me, and I take this with great pride. They're like, you're an honorary blind guy. I'm like, I am going to take that. And, if I could make a little trophy and set it on my desk, I would. I love that concept that people have acknowledged the fact that, you're one of us. You see things the way we see things. And, I appreciate that. And so, yeah, we'll go do that legwork for you. We'll go reach out to that property and bug them about, hey, can you give me the floor plan? I actually had a fellow who does physical therapy in Mass at one of the YMCAs. And he goes in and comes out, has an hour of physical therapy, and he uses us to walk in and walk out. But before we even got there, I had reached out to their director and said, hey, look, I'm going to be navigating, and some of the folks on my team are going to be navigating one of your regular users into and out of the physical therapy space. Can you have somebody just turn on a video, a recording, and walk from the main entrance to the elevator, and then from the elevator to, where he needs to go to start his physical therapy? And they did. All it took was just asking. They didn't know why. But once I explained it to them, they said, that's amazing. That is such a great idea. And of course, we want you to be able to give this person a better experience while they use our services. So sometimes it just takes having the, boldness to just even ask, is this something that you can do? And if you can share why it's important, and what value the folks that are going to receive out of that experience are going to get, it goes a long way. Having spent enough time in accessibility and approaching especially smaller businesses, most of them are unaware of some of the things that are needed to be done to make their products, services, digital, accessible to folks just because they've never been told. And this is even true within the world of like computer science and programming. There are not too many programs out there that are actually focusing on incorporating accessibility. It's kind of seen as like, I don't know if you remember those history books, they would always have kind of that box off to the side of, hey, it's the 1940s. And over here in this little tiny box with 50 words in it is what women were up to. And you're like, wait a second, they weren't just hanging out in the box. They were busy doing things. So maybe we should incorporate that into history books. Same thing with accessibility. We need to be talking about accessibility being baked in from the beginning, but we can't be scaring the folks out there that aren't aware of it yet. We need to approach them in a friendly manner to basically show them the way. And this is just a little bit different approach, I think, that we take here. And one of the names I'll drop that some of you may be familiar with, Lainey Feingold. Lainey Feingold was introduced to me by my boss and mentor, Sassy Altwetter, right? And she has been doing structured negotiation around accessibility for decades now. And her approach is not heavy-fisted. Her approach is more along the lines of, let's get everybody to the table and just talk this through. We've got to be able to get to a point where it doesn't require lawsuits. It doesn't require threats. It doesn't, you know, resort to name calling through social media to get things done in a positive manner. You know, and if you go back to the days, you know, when ATMs first came out, do you remember that, you know, where those first initial iterations of ATMs you couldn't use as a blind person? There wasn't Braille. There was not the audio jack to put, you know, your headphones into and hear the content on that digital screen, even though it could easily be done. The technology existed. But the folks that put ATMs out there said, we're not going to put these in here. And it took time sitting at the table and hearing stories about why decisions were made to eventually get to the point where, you know, the executives finally kind of admitted, they said, we thought we're actually doing you a favor. We don't want blind people to get robbed or mugged while they're getting their money. And then blind people said, that's not your decision to make. I take care of my own safety, but you're taking care of my money and you're preventing me from getting my money because you're not including an accessible way for me to navigate the same device that everybody else is able to use. And once they came to that understanding, that's when you saw those talking ATMs start replacing all of those originals. And here's the thing, if they had just baked it in from the beginning, if they had approached disabled folks and said, what do disabled folks need to be able to use this effectively and securely and safely, man, it could have prevented them from having to replace all those. So same thing. We approach businesses, nonprofits, you name it, in a kinder, gentler approach. There's time for tar and feathers and pitchforks and angry mobs. Don't get me wrong. I am an old community organizer, and I'm a big fan of applying pressure when pressure is needed. And these days, it feels as though things are a pretty hostile environment for folks in the disability world. I do love being able to talk with folks and have their eyes light up because they just never understood accessibility. Nobody ever approached them in a way that they were able to understand and to realize, you know, the ways that they were inadvertently excluding folks from, you know, participating in their products and services. So it's actually a really fun thing that we get to do. And then on top of that, we get to make sure that hopefully your experience that you have while you go and participate is much more inclusive and you're able to navigate those spaces independently.
Is your team mostly available during the week or is it weekends now or how does that work?
So we're actually working on a significant pilot accessibility pilot program here in the state of Michigan. And so because of that, I was able to recruit some more folks, get them on my team. So recently we actually expanded our hours to go from 7 a.m. until 10 p.m., 7 days a week. It does require in the scheduling through Calendly. If you go to calendly.com/requests-visual-eyes-access, it does still require 12 hours notice because, again, we're a distributed team. We're all remote from one another. We're not signing in every single day and staring at the, you know, screen hoping that a call comes through. I assign those out as they come in. We make sure that we've got somebody who is either skilled in that area or I or one of the other experienced members of the team will meet with them to prep them so that when the call does come through, when they do connect, hopefully it ends up being a real efficient use of that person's time. As much as we want to sit around and chat with y'all, we also know that it's time is money. And so we want to be respectful of that. But yeah, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern. And if you have something that comes up that's shorter notice or something that even might fall outside of those hours, just reach out. The more advanced notice you can give me, the better. And I will do my best to either assign that out to somebody or, you know what, I'm the owner. I will handle the call if I have the availability to.
Are those Eastern Standard Time or a different time zone?
That is Eastern time. Most of my team is in the Eastern time zone. I do have one person in Central. But again, if folks you know, if folks have times, I think I heard somebody on the call is out in Seattle. Yeah, if you've got something that's going to go later into the evening or whatnot, I've actually had some airport navigations. You know, sometimes the best option you got is to land at 10 o'clock at night. Yeah, go ahead. Let us know that you're going to be there late. We'll make sure that we're available. And if we're not, we'll let you know. But 9 times out of 10, we're going to be able to accommodate those requests.
Sean, thank you so much. This has been excellent.